Numbers and our travels, if you will, through the truth of the Word of God. Numbers chapter 10. Now we've been talking up to this point about preparing to march, which involved the numbering, which involved the sanctifying and the dedicating of the priest and the altar. Everything is prepared. Everything is taken care of. And the last message we preached out of chapter 9 was on preparing to march with God. Well, we found that God provided a cloud and He provided a pillar to guide them by. And so they had something visually to follow which would inform them with reference of when to go and which way to go with God. But there was one other thing needed. They not only needed something for the eyes, but they needed something for the ears. They needed some way to communicate amongst 2.5 million people. Not a real easy task. And so tonight, we're going to read the first 10 verses, and we're going to study about the silver trumpets. The silver trumpets. Let's begin reading, if you will, in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee 2 trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with 1 trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When ye shall blow an alarm the 2nd time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. They shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. And so we see that the cloud and the pillar was for the purpose of guidance, and the silver trumpets were obviously for the purpose of communication. Now they had visual if you will, contact with heaven that caused them to know which direction to go. And as it was lifted up, they knew that it was time to go. But they needed some way to draw the people together and to communicate with them so that they might be informed on how to march in order, and so that all might understand what was taking place. And the trumpets were not only for communicating the gathering of the people, but also for times of worship and for times of war that we'll deal with here just a little bit later on. Now, first thing I want you to notice here in this scripture that we read, just a couple of points. Number 1, the nature of these trumpets. Number 2, the number of the trumpets. Number 3, we're going to talk about the noise of these trumpets. Let's consider for a moment the nature of these trumpets. Now, you've got to understand that in the Old Testament there were 2 types of trumpets. In other words, as you go through your concordance and you see the word trumpets as our trumpet, as it is used in the Old Testament, you're actually seeing 2 words. There is the word, which is very difficult to pronounce in Hebrew, and so I'm not going to try, that is for these silver trumpets here. And then there is the word that is also translated trumpet, which is the word shofar, which is translated as the ram's horn. That's what it consisted of. So there was a hollowed out ram's horn that curled up, and an individual would blow on that ram's horn for the purpose of communication. But these silver trumpets, in other word translated, was not an instrument that was to be used by any individual other than who? Than the sons of Aaron. And so, these silver trumpets were very special, and therefore it tells us that they must have a very special message. Now, if you go to Joshua chapter 6 later on, as they marched around Jericho, you will find there that the Bible says that God instructed the priest there to blow upon the trumpets, but it identifies those trumpets as ram's horns. So those were not these silver trumpets. If you will look or listen in Psalm number 98, Psalm number 98, I want to show you an example of where both of these words are used. Psalm number 98 in verse 4. Listen to what he says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We've heard that before, haven't we? All the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp, with a harp, with a voice of a psalm. Now look at verse 6. With trumpets and the sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Now, when you see that word trumpets in verse 6, that is the same Hebrew word that is translated for the silver trumpets that are being mentioned in Numbers chapter 10. When you see that word cornet there, that's not what we think of today. There is a musical instrument that is a cornet, but that word cornet there is the Hebrew translation of the Hebrew shofar. And so we find that there were two trumpets in the Old Testament, the silver trumpet and then the shofar trumpet, if you will. The shofar was possessed by most men and individuals, the common folk, but the silver trumpet was a special possession of only Aaron and his sons, and it was only to be blown on specific occasions, and it had a very distinct sound. So it could be easily determined whether an individual heard the sound of a shofar or if they heard the sound of a silver trumpet. And so the nature of these trumpets is described for us here. First of all, we're given the metal of the trumpets. The Bible said in verse number 2 that they were to be made of what? Of silver. But not just silver. What did it say? It said of beaten silver was what they were supposed to be made out of. And so silver always speaks of what? It always speaks of redemption. Now, anytime that you see a specific metal being named for a purpose by God, then you know that God has a message in that thing. Every message we find in the Old Testament that is ordained not to be strayed from by God has a message that points to the Lord Jesus Christ and to Calvary. Amen. So right off the bat, when we see the metal silver mentioned, we know that God's drawing our attention to what? The doctrine of redemption. Amen. The element of redemption in our lives. It points us to Calvary. But not only that, said it was to be of one piece. Amen. Said it was to be of one piece. That speaks of unity. Not in pieces, but just one. We read in the book of Ephesians that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so we see a unity is being implied. The silver obviously was beaten, but it was not broken. And so what we see pictured here in the nature of these trumpets is something that points toward redemption and is identified with some type of unity. Well, that moves us from the nature of the trumpets to the number of the trumpets. How many were there to be? There were to be two trumpets that were to be made of silver, according to verse number 2. Well, what is the significance of the number 2? You who have studied numerology in the Bible will remember that 2 speaks of unity. It speaks of witness, or it can speak of division, and that being determined by the context. Simply for this reason, because Amos 3 and verse 3 says this, can two walk together except they be Agreed. And so two can imply unity, or it can imply division. But it always implies witness. And so here, this unity, I believe, implies, obviously, being they were blown at the same time, they imply unity. We see that through the Bible. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23 and 24, the Lord said there that a man was to leave his mother and father and be joined unto his wife, and those two will become one flesh, implying unity, one of two, an agreement, amen. And so, a marriage consists of two people in agreement, but yet they are recognized as one before the Lord. It is absolute agreement. The Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus, in the Levitical system, about the offering of the two goats. Amen. There was the scapegoat, and then there was the goat that was to be offered on the burnt offering, on the brazen altar, to provide atonement for the people in Leviticus 16. Those two goats picture the unity of death and life together. Amen. One was to die, and the other was carried away into the wilderness. Amen. Our life consists of two parts. It consists of life, and it consists in death. And there will be agreement between your life and your death. Amen. When we preach somebody's funeral, they've already preached it. Amen. We're just eulogizing them. Amen. Life and death always agree. Person lives for the devil, he will die and spend eternity with the devil. If he lives for the Lord, then he will die and spend eternity with the Lord. And so the number two speaks of unity, and it speaks of witness. In the book of Exodus, we find that there were two tables of stone. What were they for? Bearing witness, and they were in complete agreement. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find that no testimony or witness at a trial was to be accepted unless it was confirmed by at least two witnesses. Amen. And so we see agreement and we see witness are involved in the number two. And as we think of these trumpets, therefore, I believe that they point to the unity and the witness of the Old and the New Testament in their communication of the doctrine of redemption to mankind. Amen. Now, you see, there are people today that believe that all they need is a New Testament, that the Old Testament is not relevant anymore, and that it's not important. I want to tell you something. The Old Testament is just as full of Jesus, if not more, than is the New Testament. Amen. Amen. In the Old Testament, we see Jesus enfolded. In the New Testament, we see Jesus unfolded. Amen. And as we read the New Testament, amen, and I always suggest a young Christian read the Gospels first, then move through the New Testament. Be careful in the book of Revelation. Don't try to get bogged down in there. Then try reading the Old Testament. Why? Because then when you read the Old Testament, you'll be able to see Jesus, which is what you want to see. And so the silver trumpets point to what? Witness, testimony, communication of redemption. And the two and the number imply agreement together in harmony, and I believe that's the way that they were tuned. And they point to the agreement and the unity of the Old Testament in witnessing to lost mankind about the doctrine of redemption. Amen. Now, that's what this Bible's about. You're not going to be informed about salvation, the need to be saved, why you ought to be saved, the importance of salvation, the way to be saved, or anything else except through this Word of God. Amen. And so it's important that we understand that. And so they had a visible representation of God, whereby they would know which way to go, but they needed a sounding of an alarm, something to be heard, to notify them, and to gather them, and to prepare them to be able to march with God. And so these trumpets were just as important in preparing to march with God as was the pillar and the fire. But there's one difference. The trumpets were placed in human hands. When that cloud arose and when it moved had nothing to do with the will nor the say of man. Huh? But the trumpets did. And so what does that tell us? That tells us that the communication of the gospel of redemption, neighbor, hadn't been placed in the hands of angels or heavenly beings. It's been placed in the hands of human beings for communicating to a lost and dying world. And if a man is going to get saved in this dispensation, he will be saved because he has heard the gospel by somebody testifying, witnessing, or preaching to him somewhere, or he won't get saved. Now, I want to tell you, it ain't going to change in the next. During the tribulation period, God's going to send two witnesses to Israel. They're going to bear record to what the Old Testament said about the Messiah to the Jew, and there's going to be a remnant that's going to believe that Jesus indeed was the Savior. He was their Messiah. Amen. God has placed the silver trumpet of the gospel of the Bible in the hands of human beings. It was to be in the hands of Aaron's sons, the priests. The New Testament reveals that all who have been saved are priests before God. Amen. And so you know what? That puts the responsibility upon you and me. Amen. Okay? Let's move on to the noise of the trumpets. The sound, if you will. When were they to be blown? What was the purpose? Well, we have read here that the trumpets were to be sounded and blown upon, and then there was to be sounded what was called an alarm. Now, I don't know what they consist of. Josephus said that these silver trumpets were only about 18 inches long. Whether he's right or not, I don't know, but he was a Jew. He probably knew more about it than I did. Amen. But at any rate, these things were made of silver and for blowing, and obviously they made some noise that was distinct, and it was capable of making more than one. There was the simple blowing or sounding of the trumpet, and then there was the sounding of what the Bible calls here an alarm. An alarm. And so let's talk about this noise and what was the purpose of sounding these trumpets, and then we're going to relate it to ourselves. Number one, these trumpets were sounded or blown in times of witness. Look, if you will, in verses 3 and 4. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee. Who's the thee? Moses. At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they shall blow out with one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the households of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. And so they knew when they heard this trumpet that it was time, this singular trumpet, that it was time for these heads to be gathered and all of the nation to be gathered with Moses where? At the east of the tabernacle, which was where the gate was. There, my friend, Moses was going to do what? He was going to give instructions concerning what God would have them to do. He was God's man, he was God's leader, and he spake God's word, amen. And so the trumpet sounded for the purpose of gathering the people together to receive testimony, amen, to receive witness. Not only were they blown to receive witness, but they were blown for walking. Verse number 5 and 6. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journey. So here we see the purpose of blowing the alarm, if you will. It would sound a specific sound which indicated to the people that it was time to do what? To walk. It was time to march with God, and that not randomly or without order, but it was to be done in a specific way. When it sounded one time, it meant that those on the east, which was the Levites and Moses and Aaron and Judah, those tribes were to begin to move forward. The second blow to the southern tribes were. We don't see it here, but in the Hebrew, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, they also point out that three sounds the northern tribe went, or the western tribe, and four sounds the northern tribe went. Well, now that's kind of implied here. We may not see it, but one thing we do see is that walking was regulated, or announced, if you will, by the blowing of these trumpets and sounding an alarm. So they were blown in time of witness, in time of walking, and then in time of war. Look at verse 9. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. All right? We see that the trumpets were to be blown in time of war, and it was to blow once more that sound of alarm. Now notice that he said, in the land. This is pertaining to when they get to the land. When they get to the land, they will not be marching in this formation anymore. You'll recall that after they crossed that Jordan River and entered that land, that the cloud disappeared and the manna disappeared. They entered a new arena of life, an absolute arena of faith. And so these trumpets during time of war were to be blown, and God said, I will remember you. Amen. And he said, I'll save you from your enemies. And so what would this be a type of? Amen. This would be a type of prayer and communication before God. Is it as though God forgot us? No. It's another act of faith. And that's all in the world prayer is. God knows your need. God knows everything. Prayer is your act of faith based upon the name of Jesus and the ability and the work of Jesus, petitioning God to do that which he's promised and that which he's able to do. Amen. It is an act of faith. It's not giving God information or acknowledging God of something that he might be unaware of. Amen. And so it's a type of prayer and faith here. And so the trumpet was blown in type of war, time of war. But then also the trumpet was to be blown in times of worship. Look at verse 10. And also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months. Now, when was that? That was new moons. There was offerings at every new moon. Ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. And so, first of the month, every new moon, when they offered the burnt offerings then, those trumpets sounded. On the festival days, such as Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, Day of Atonement, all of those things, tabernacles, the trumpets were to be blown, amen, making that sound that Psalm number 98 talks about. And so they have to do with witness. They have to do with your walk. They have to do with your war, and they have to do with your worship. Now, let's talk about the New Testament application, if you will, of these trumpets, and we'll be through. First of all, the trumpets hold for a message for us in this way. First of all, the trumpets are of witness, as we've said. Witness of what? Witness of redemption. Amen. Therefore, we are gathered together to hear in this place. Why today? We are gathered together here for the purpose of witness, of testimony. Amen. When you drove up the drive, you got out and came in this place, you bore witness to this world that you were a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you were a Christian. Amen. And so we have been called to gather, to seek God and be empowered by his word and by his spirit, that we might go forth into the world and sound the trumpet call of redemption to gather together all that will hear. Amen. Jesus said in that parable of that marriage for the this man's son, when all who were invited found other things they were busy with, he told his servants, he said, you go out into the highways and the hedges and you call all that will come. Anybody that'll listen to you. I won't tell you. We're blowing a trumpet, amen. A sound is going forth into this world bearing witness that there's a God in heaven. There's a Savior who died for you, and therefore you need to believe on him and trust him, and you need to be saved, amen. We blow the trumpet call and alarm of witness in this world, amen. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, yea, their sound went all the way to the ends of the earth in the book of Acts. You know that? Their sound, it said. Isn't it funny that it said that? Their noise was heard unto the ends of the earth. Amen. I want to tell you, if you'll study the lives of all those apostles and how they died and where they went, you're going to find that neighbor God saturated the globe in the days of those apostles. There was not a place on the face of the earth that the gospel of Jesus Christ did not go. Therefore, that tells me there was no need of a Book of Mormon. Amen. So on and so forth. Didn't need it. That's what the Bible said. Their sound reached the ends of the earth. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you something. Folks are not going to get saved unless somebody tells them about Jesus. And it's up to us to blow the trumpet. And so we find the message for us is that we possess a trumpet of witness. We also possess a trumpet of warring. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me read you a verse. 1 Corinthians 14. There it's talking about speaking in tongues. Let me read you a few verses of what it says. Verse number 6, 1 Corinthians 14. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? Now look at verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Now what's he saying there? Paul is very familiar with the Old Testament. Amen. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And who was Gamaliel? He was a doctor of the law. He was a doctor, if you will, of the Old Testament in his day. He knew it. All right? So Paul knew that. And he knew about these sounds of the trumpet in alarms and blowing for festivals and things. And he's relating it here and saying, listen, if a trumpet is not given a very distinct sound, how will people know to get ready for battle? Amen. And so what he's saying is simply this. Somebody's got to tell the children of God we're in a war. Amen. Now I want to tell you, the Bible says if at all possible live at peace with all men. But I want to tell you this also. The same man who said that did not find that a possibility. There were some people he could not live at peace with. Amen. There were some who tried to kill him. And I believe one group that did kill him and God brought him back. Huh? I want to tell you something. God has called us not only to be His servants, He's called us to be His soldiers. And so Ephesians 6 describes for us the armament that God has given us, not for the purpose of witness, but what? The purpose of war. Why does this political system hate you and me? Huh? Because we're at war with it. Huh? Why? Because the standards that we have and they have at least ought to be different. Amen. Now we have to live under the law. We are not to violate the law. But then again, we are not to practice the law if that law violates the Word of God. Per se being, because abortion is legal doesn't mean that a Christian ought to have one. Amen. And if it can get a whole lot worse. We're in a battle, folks. Now, how are we going to know when to fight? How are we going to know how to fight if somebody doesn't blow the trumpet of the Word of God and tell people how to fight the battle? Paul makes it plain. He said, hey, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. We battle against spiritual wickedness in high places. What's he saying? He's describing the battle there. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We do not fight abortionists by shooting abortion doctors with carnal bullets. That's what he's saying. Amen? We do not fight them that way. We fight them in prayer. We fight them in decency and morality by standing and voting against unrighteousness, which is a freedom of our democracy. Amen? That's how we fight our battle. We fight those battles on our knees and spiritually, and we bring God into the situation and implore God. Amen. Make Him our banner. Amen. But see, what's happened today, The churches have become social clubs, and whatever society adopts, the church wants to adopt, because they don't want any conflict whatsoever. Because if you have conflict, then you're going to find yourself in a situation like us, and you're going to be a few of number, and by the world standard, then you're not a success. And of course, we worried more about success in the world's eyes than we are in God's eyes anymore. Isn't that the truth? Huh? I want to tell you something. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. Amen. And religious enemies abound. And I believe that history will bear that out, that the greatest affliction that the people of God have ever suffered has been at the hands of other people who are religious people. Amen. So I want to tell you, we're in a battle. You got folks that don't like you if you're going to live for God and you have standards. And you have a devil that hates you because you're made in the image of God, number one. Number two, because you love him more than you love the devil. Amen. I want to tell you, we're in a battle. How's anybody going to know that, amen, if all we're preaching is good times and social sandwiches? It just doesn't happen, amen. Amen. When you get saved and you get baptized, you're marked as an enemy. You're marked as an enemy by the world and by the devil. So I want to tell you, the trumpet's been placed in our hands, amen? And you know, I am going to be held responsible on the day of judgment for whether I sounded that trumpet with a distinct sound or I did not. See, that's what we leave out. You and I can fall out. We can disagree. I mean, we can get upset. But I want to tell you something. We better remember God's going to bring us both into judgment. And we had better not weigh things on our own little fetishes and our own little wills and ways. We'd better weigh things by the Word of God and in the eyes of God, because we're going to be held accountable for those things. And everything I've ever preached, neighbor, believe me, I'm going to give an account for. And I had rather God rebuke me, chastise me for everything in the world, with the exception of one. And that's what he said. Because I want to tell you, I know what he feels, how he feels about this book. I know how he feels about this book. Amen. Somebody's got to sound the war, the battle cry, and gather the folks together and say, listen, we need to take a stand. We need to stand for what's right. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go on. It's our responsibility to bear the trumpet of witness. It's our responsibility to bear the trumpet of warring. It's our responsibility to bear the trumpet of warning, if you will. Now the trumpet was blown to gather people together in times of judgment and attack of the enemy. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 8 later on and chapters after that, you're going to find that there's a section in the book of Revelation that talks about an angel that has seven trumpets. And as he begins to sound those trumpets, the judgment of God is released upon this earth against a Christ-rejecting world. And so those trumpets are sounding to announce judgment that is coming upon this world. Now, the book of Joel confirms that. You don't need to turn there. You can turn to it later. Joel chapter 2, later read it. And he'll talk about blowing the trumpet in Zion. Why? Because the Lord is coming in judgment. And so, neighbor, I want to tell you something. What he's saying there, and by the way, that word is this word. He's saying, listen, it is up to you and I to warn this world that our God is coming in judgment against wicked men and Christ-rejecting men, and that if they do not repent, as Israel was implored to by Peter on the day of Pentecost, if we don't change, then neighbor, we're going to suffer the judgment hand of God. We have to blow that trumpet of warning. Whenever Paul stood before the king, Agrippa, I believe it was, he reasoned of him, of temperance and righteousness and judgment. Judgment. Judgment to come. Huh? That's a part of our message. I preached a series on John 3:16 one time here. It lasted about 6 weeks. There's judgment implied in there. Amen. There sure is. If acceptance is plainly revealed, then the opposite of that acceptance is implied, is it not? Yes, there is. Amen. We can talk about heaven and all the good things of God. I want to tell you, judgment is just as much a part of the message. We need a balanced message. We don't need to deal on heaven all the time, nor on hell all the time. We need to preach the whole counsel of God is what we need to do. And a part of our message to this world is, hey, you need to be saved. God loves you. Jesus died for you. You're a sinner. You need to be saved. Every man needs to be saved. It's free. It won't cost you nothing. Turn from your sin and turn to Christ. But if you do not, know of a surety that God will judge you for your sin. Oh, America, understand and know, America will judge you for your sin as He has every nation that has ever gone before us. Huh? Two great historical sins, all I'm going to say about this. We commit both of them in America. Two great historical sins have always brought nations to the knees or to destruction. Homosexuality and killing babies. They go hand in hand, brother. And it's just a matter of time before they take me and you out because we're not worth nothing anymore. Mark her down. I was saved in 1972, and back then we preached that if they ever made abortion legal, and by the way, they did that year, if they ever made it illegal, it wouldn't be long before they'd be killing old folks. The only man that could ever go and murder dozens of people and get away with his name's Kevorkian. Any other serial killer would either be on death row or he'd certainly be in a mental asylum. Would he not? Amen. And I don't like suffering anymore. We need to sound the trumpet of warning. Does the world like it? No, they don't. I had folks get upset with me before the gambling boats come in at the fire department. Because I'd say it ain't going to be good. Oh, yeah, but money's going to roll in on those waves. Okay, sure. It's going to roll in all right. And souls are going to roll right out the other side. When waves roll in, there's an undertow that carries out. And every one of you here know a family that's been affected and destroyed or hurt some way by those boats. Yeah. Now, that's me. If you don't believe that or like that, that's between you and God. We'll both answer for it. What am I saying? I sounded the trumpet of warning. And I won't tell you who they blame for why gambling didn't pass for years. And I've got to shut up about this. They blame Christians. It's the Christians' fault. The Christians bust in all their people and voted against it. That's why it came past, as though that's not fair. I said, what's the matter? You think Christians ought not have the right to vote? Now you think Christians ought to be thrown out of America? You think that we're not a citizen just like you? What difference does it make if a man's a Christian, a Muslim, or a Jew? Don't he have the right to vote if he's a citizen here? Why are you getting upset about that? Why didn't you get your crowd up and go down there and vote for it? Point I'm making is this. You sound the trumpet of warning. People are not going to like it. People are not going to like it. Amen. But you know what? The responsibility is ours. In the Old Testament, you find an individual called the watchman. He was placed upon the wall of the city, and every city built had a wall. His responsibility was to look out there and watch for enemies that may approach. His responsibility, if he saw an enemy approaching, he would sound the alarm with that trumpet. You know what God said? God said, oh boy, if you see it coming and you don't warn these people, He said, I'm going to require their blood at your hands. But He said, if you see that judgment coming and you blow that trumpet and they won't pay any attention to you blowing, He said, you've delivered your soul. He said, they're going to suffer the judgment, but He said, you have delivered yourself. That's what He said. Huh? Neighbor, the trumpet of warning is fallen into our hands, and it's upon deaf ears. There are very few Christian organizations anymore that will have a standard of some kind that they refuse to bend on. Amen. Let's have a good time, Charlie, and let's just eat, drink, and be merry and multiply. That's the same philosophy a rat has. It's up to us to sound the trumpet of warning. Not only that, we're responsible for the trumpet of worship. Amen. There was a time to gather and worship. Amen. And somebody sounded that trumpet. Now, I want to give you the consummation of that thing. One day, there's a trumpet going to sound. And you know what? It's going to gather all of God's people together to worship. Amen. Say in 1 Corinthians 15, you know what he said there? He said a trumpet's going to sound. Verse 51. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible shall must put on incorruption, the mortal put on immortality. And so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortality shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Then he reaches up in praise. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He consummates it this way in verse 57. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I won't tell you, neighbor, one of these days, that final trumpet of worship will sound. That trump will sound and we'll be changed. We'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air at the sound of that shout and that trumpet. And I want to tell you what the book of Revelation portrays. It portrays the people of God bowing down before His throne, casting their crowns before Him, singing praise to His name, and neighbors shouting, worthy is He that sits upon the throne. Amen. I want to tell you, it's going to be worship, bless your heart, in eternity. People today who can't worship God, don't desire to worship God, can't find time to worship God, what are they going to do in heaven? Huh? Just tell me. Amen. Every time people drive by a church house, neighbor, a trumpet ought to sound. Hey, worship God. Worship God. In the book of Revelation, we find that message in there. Worship God. No, they don't want to worship God. Amen. Don't want to worship God. I want to tell you something. The people of God ought not have to hear a trumpet blowing in their ear every day or every week to gather together to worship the Lord. Amen. The Lord that saved us, the Lord that bought us. Amen. The God that has given us this word. Amen. Has ordained us to gather together to worship and to praise Him. And that's also implied in the Psalms through the sounding of the trumpets and the shofar. You read it in Psalm 98 and you'll find it in many others. Neighbor, God expects us to let forth the sounds of praise and worship to our God. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Glory to God. That's our responsibility. The Lord said those trumpets were to be in the hands of Aaron's sons, and it was an ordinance to be observed how long? Throughout all your generation. Here it is, folks. Sound the trumpet. That tells me something. You can't worship God. You can't praise God without this book. You can't do it. Our Father, thank You for Your word. For these that have gathered with us here this evening, we ask You, Lord, now to bless it. May we be encouraged and strengthened. May we be inspired to live for Jesus, God, as we've never lived for Him before. Help us to understand the trumpet has been placed in our hands to communicate to this world the glorious gospel of redemption in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be faithful, our Father, in communicating that message. God, whether folks want to hear it or not, God, let us do as Paul told young Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Preach when they don't want to hear it. Preach when they do want to hear it. Let the trumpet sound, for one of these days the final great trumpet will sound when time shall be no more, and God, those that have been saved, will...